Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all to All Sides Weekend as we talk today about the arts and entertainment in Central Ohio. And what a weekend this is going to be. My goodness. Let me introduce my guests. John S. Kuhn is the Artistic Director of Actors Theater.
Good.
Best known for their productions in Schiller Park with Robin Hood ongoing. Bill Connor is the head guy at Chief Honcho at Kappa, the Columbus Association for the Performing Arts. And Lou Ross is the Executive Director of the Lancaster Festival. So we're going to encourage people to get in their cars and go to Hocking Hills a little bit this summer and to also stay closer to home. I welcome you all. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
John, since you're a debutante here with us on All Sides Weekend today at least, and Robin Hood is closing this weekend after a month-long run, the buzz has been wonderful.
Tell me
about Robin Hood and Actors Theater.
It's an original piece written by Philip Hickman, and we are very excited about this project. It's been a great experience, and you're right, it has been well received. It could well break records in terms of attendance, which we're very excited by. Since we survive by the donations of our patrons, having a good house, having a lot of people come out to see the shows is always a huge benefit. So yeah, it's been a great thing. We've got four more possible performances they can see. We've got tonight, Saturday, and then there's two shows on Sunday. Down at Schiller Park, yep. We've got a 2 o'clock matinee. It's part of the German Village House and Garden Tour. Mm-hmm. So as they're strolling from house to house, they can come see the show in the afternoon and then also Sunday evening at 8. So four more opportunities to see Robin Hood.
Everything in Schiller Park, you can bring a picnic?
Oh, yes. People bring food, things to drink, blankets, lawn chairs, and it's just a beautiful setting.
And I know it's free, and I also know donations are encouraged.
Donations are always encouraged.
You have little skits where you ask people, they come out in their tights and ask people for money, which I think is great.
We have, and Philip has been writing those for us as well. It's a little opportunity for us to shape our pitch to the audience in a little bit more artistic way, and yes, they're very fun.
Well, terrific. Good to know about Actors Theater. We'll come back to you and ask a little bit more. Also, you two, Bill Connor and John Kuhn, have something else in common this summer. It's called Columbus Commons that we want to talk about in just a minute. But I want to welcome Lou Ross from the Lancaster Festival,
Executive Director.
This is what, your 7th or 8th year?
Actually, just the 9th.
Well, excuse me.
I've been moving on. Yes, sir.
It's just wonderful. Lancaster Festival runs for about 10 days. It opens on July 18th.
It does. We've expanded by a day this year, opening on Wednesday night, the 18th, and rather than the Thursday. So we're 11 days this summer.
Give me a thumbnail of what goes on down there.
Well, we try to do a little bit of everything, bringing the arts to the people. We use multiple venues. Over those 11 days, we do 70-plus different events, and we use about 24 or 25 different venues. So we don't have a festival site. You can't just walk through a gate and be there. You have to sort of decide what event you want to attend and be there for that. We ticket 15 of the events. All the rest of the events are free. And we rely, as John was mentioning, on our donors to make those things happen and our amazing volunteers. We have brought 600 to 800 volunteers each summer to help make this thing work. It keeps things free, keeps things low priced. And we have our own orchestra we seat every summer. This will be the 25th anniversary of having our own Lancaster Festival Orchestra. And you know, and some of your listeners know, that the Columbus Symphony helped get this thing started with those visionary leaders in Lancaster 28 years ago. So 3 years we had the Columbus Symphony, and then Gary Sheldon came in and started our own orchestra, our pickup band, so to speak. And they do very, very well. And players from all over the country come in, and very talented. We get a continuity out of the return that they have every summer.
Devil's advocate here. So here I am. I've got three whiny kids in the van. It's a hot day out. Alas, there's no school. I stupidly took the week off during the summer vacation from school. I have my wife and a couple of her girlfriends also who are chattering away and are not interested. And I'm driving to Lancaster and I'm packing my car, as we say, home in Boston.
Right.
I open the door, I let the kids out. What's there for them?
We have a lot of things in the downtown area. We have things at the square. We have music every day at the downtown square. We have kids' events at the Knights of Columbus Hall every day and River Valley Mall. We have some days dedicated just to families and children to come out. We have a festival fair day on the first Saturday, July 21st, at the Fairfield County Fairgrounds. We have Rising Park Day at our beautiful Rising Park in Lancaster. So there's a lot of things going on. There's five museums in Lancaster, and there's a children's museum there.
There is a very good children's museum.
So it's something they can do there. And They could always throw him in a fountain and let him wade for a while.
I would do that, and I'd sit in the van with the AC on and nap, and then go to Shaw's for lunch. But anyway, Lancaster Festival, good to know about that. I am going to urge people to call and let us know what your plans are for the summer, or ask our panelists the best deals, the best venues for the arts in Central Ohio, 292-8513. You can also send us an email at allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook. Now, I think here within the inner belt, outer belt, the big news is Columbus Commons, which, is, as I understand, it's probably the first summer that's up and running, that, that really everything is there. Bill Connor, talk to me about Columbus Commons.
Well, I think we're all really excited about the new Commons. The city and the Downtown Development Corporation came together and built a brand new pavilion, which has been just a huge, huge asset for our community. And that's really worked out to be the new summer home for the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. So even though we were in Lancaster long ago and far away, now we're downtown.
Any new challenges for this new venue? Are you meeting any resistance from people? Or, you know, I find that people sometimes, if you ask them to go 3 feet to the left of where they're used to going, it's a problem. So, you know.
Well, you know, change is always, you know, new. And but I have to say, I think that the our partner, we look at it as a three-way partnership. So we have the symphony, the Kappa Group, and the Downtown Development Corporation. So our first weekend was a pretty smooth success for us. We opened Friday night with Three Dog Night, and the next evening we had the Temptations. We had 11,000 people for the weekend.
That's great. That's just that's capacity, I would think.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, terrific. Yeah. Also, talk to me about the Popcorn Pops, and there's lots for children down there as well with you.
Yeah, actually, today you're right on. Today's our first Popcorn Pops concert, and it's going to be in the new pavilion as well. And so, you know, we're pretty excited. I think it's going to also. Our colleagues at the Downtown Development Corporation have done a lot of family programming, including the carousel. So we think that this is going to be extremely complementary to making the Commons a real destination for families and young people.
Is the goal to get people downtown?
It is. And
we hear that all the time. I know we've had this conversation before.
It is the goal. We have, you know, I think the mayor said it long ago and far away that the downtown is everyone's living room for our community. And it's pretty exciting this year with Sayo de Mayo, where you can also have the kids come and be in the water.
Go to car. Throw them in the
and with what with John, you know, Schiller Park has just become another part of that downtown that brings just thousands and thousands of people every weekend. So it's pretty happening.
John, who came up with the idea of Actors Theater? I know it's you're in your 30th season now.
31st, yeah.
Excuse me, right. Terrific.
Pat Elson, 31 years ago. Her and her husband came up with the idea, and it started off as just a number of individuals who had a love of Shakespeare, and they also did musicals way back then, and they would put on a show. And I believe anecdotally, the stories are that they would get into costume at their house, walk down to the park, do the show, and then go back and, you know, change clothes.
Somebody told me they offered potty service in those early years, too, in their house.
Yeah, it was just very informal. It was very, very much a community theater. And what we've been doing over the last 31 years is moving it towards a professional footprint so that, you know, the quality, we strive for a very professional product. And I think it's we're starting to get there.
How do you do it with outcharging admission? God bless you, but how do you do it?
Well, we get support from a number of corporations, a number of foundations, the Reinberger Foundation, Hazel Baker Foundation, the Columbus, Greater Columbus Arts Council, the Ohio Arts Council. So we have a number of different funding sources, but the donations of our patrons is a huge portion of our budget every year.
Well, let me ask all three of you. Do you find it's never easy, but do you find it easier to attract big money because you have a lot going on in big public venues? I mean,
that's certainly
that
a help.
Or?
Yeah, it's a help, but it's always a struggle to get the money you need.
We've been at the festival. We've been able to rely on our community support in terms of the pride they have in what we do there. And from the very beginning, it was organized so that everybody was involved, people from all walks of life. So for us, the big money is not really there. It's the multiple money. We have so many donors that really support us, and sometimes very small dollars, but it adds up to be the big dollars. That's the big thing. And so we keep trying to make it about the community and about, you know, involving them and participating with them.
One thing I've said before is if you walk around the streets of Lancaster just to hang out at festival time, everybody knows about it. Every single person you encounter who lives there knows about it and
yes.
is connected to it in some way.
Right. It's amazing. Again, I go back to those visionary folks that first put this thing together. They knew what they were doing. They wanted to bring the arts to the people there, and that was their whole purpose. You know, Columbus was doing some great things up here, but they said, let's have some of this in our own community right here in Lancaster. And so they charged themselves to do that and get it to them, making it affordable, making sure it wasn't just for people that had money to attend. And then involving everybody, and you have, you know, everybody working together. It's one time the community really, they say Christmas and Lancaster Festival, the two times a year the community really feels together.
Well, and it's paid off because the community, yes. it's a beautiful place to go and spend an afternoon with your cranky kids that you throw into the fountain
right.
and everything else. 292-8513 is the number. If you would like to participate in the conversation, you can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. We are also in Facebook. Sometimes, I know this is hard to believe, I get a little snippy when people call in and plug other things. Game on today. Go ahead, do it, because I want to know what's going on. So if you're playing in a concert or whatever, let us know. 292-8513, and I promise I won't snip at you. What, Bill, is the future planning for the Commons? I mean, obviously the weather is going to continue a little bit, but, I mean, could you be edging back toward April and onward to October or something? And what kind of variety can we look for?
Yeah, I think a couple things. First, I think that the Commons is a pretty incredible facility, and so we're all learning it. And so everyone, all of our colleagues in the entertainment field are really looking at what's going on. I think it's seminal that we've moved Picnic to the Commons, and we've actually expanded. So we opened this year with a Friday-Saturday where we were doing Saturdays, and this Saturday we're right. doing Idina Menzel, which will have a huge,
She's a wonderful Broadway singer.
Yes. Broadway singer, Glee, won the Tony Award for Wicked. She's the Green—I mean, to be— It's so simple to make it easy for her. She's the Green Witch in Wicked.
She's the Green Witch, okay.
She is the Green Witch in Wicked.
She's got a voice on her, too.
Oh, it's going to be incredible.
Amazing.
And so I think that's great. I think the downtown development people did a great job not only building the facility but the sound system. And so we have a really pretty sophisticated sound system with delays. You know, we're all learning it. It's a brand new facility. So every time we do a concert, we're learning how to tune the Commons. And I think we'll see a lot more all kinds of music and dance and theater and Shadowbox and others utilizing the facility.
You know, this town, I don't know what the reputation is outside anymore, but there is almost an embarrassment of riches going on, really. I mean, it's very hard to be bored in Columbus, Ohio, and you don't have to have a big wallet either, I must say, because as you've said, Lou, I mean, a lot of your offerings are free. John, my goodness, so are you, and Kappa has always made it easy for people to have access, and I think that's something that really can't be said too often. Having said it now, we're going to take a break. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We will be back in 60 seconds.
This is Peter Gross filling in for Peter Sagal on this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. President Obama finally took bold action on immigration, the Greeks finally settled down and elected a new leader, and Microsoft finally announced the next product to get clobbered by the iPad. Join us as we seek some finality, finally, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me this week on NPR.
And Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is tomorrow morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. 77 degrees in downtown Columbus, a mix of sun and clouds warming up to a high of 85. Clear skies tonight, a low of 63 degrees. More sunshine for Saturday, a high of 87. Partly cloudy Saturday night, a low of 63. And a nice day on Sunday as well, sunshine and a high of 91. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy. We're talking with Bill Connor, who is the Chief Executive Officer and President of CAPA. John Kuhn is the Artistic Director of Actors Theatre of Columbus. They are performing Robin Hood almost as we speak in Schiller Park. And Lou Ross is the Executive Director of the Lancaster Festival. We're happy to take your calls at 292-8513. Tell us what your plans are for summer entertainment or ask my panelists. Between the three of us, they know everything in the entire world. Okay, so trust me, this is a good resource. 292-8513. You could also send us an email, allsides@wosu.org. We've had a question by email specifically for John, and that is to attend your shows at Schiller Park, which evening start at 8 o'clock. How early does one have to arrive?
Well, we do have people starting to arrive around 6. They'll bring their blankets, set up their meal, but if you arrive by 7:30, you'll find good spots still. There's lots of space. We have lots of space.
At 8 p.m. in July, it's dusky, but it's not dark. It doesn't really get dark until after 9 now.
Right.
Does that affect, I mean, how about the lighting for the shows?
The lighting for the first acts are usually fairly simple, and sometimes you can't even tell that the lights are on.
On or off? What do you
Yeah, so we just structure the play so that the audience knows that the scene has ended, and you're not relying upon the lights to go off to know that the moment has moved on. But that's one of the joys of outdoor theater. I mean, it is such a unique experience because you're in a park, you have a freedom of space, and if you need to get up and stretch your legs, you can.
And Amy, our producer, wants you to know there's a blanket section and a chair-only section.
Yes.
And she told me off mic that she has quite a bit of a problem with people with their horning in on their blankets at 7:50 after some people have been there since 6 o'clock. Thank you very much. So, you know, stand warned here from your friends at WOSU. Lou Ross, I'm just curious to know what the challenges are of presenting something outdoors. I mean, the performers swallow bugs and have heat stroke,
definitely.
But what does it make your job more fun but harder?
Oh, yes. I mean, certainly the weather dictates everything you do in a lot of ways. And you just, all you can do with the weather is you worry a little bit, but you have to just react. And for the most part, you just go about as if it's going to be a beautiful night. And then if something comes in the way, you have to react to that. And so far, we've been rather lucky in the 25 years of the festival of bringing guest artists to the Pops concerts. They've only had two times when they had to cancel. That was a Gary Morris concert and a Manhattan Transfer. And they rescheduled him for the following year because the electrical storm actually came in. Gary Morris' year was nearly tornadic. It was an amazing
thing. So you can't, if there's lightning, I know you can't function.
You got to clear the place at least, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've been lucky that we haven't had that problem. The one thing we've never had to do is evacuate after dark and after after the picnicking. And I know we have an open door policy where you can bring your own food and drink. And we know if we had to evacuate after dark, people have had a few drinks. And you just wonder how that all would go in the dark. So luckily we haven't had that problem. So I hope I didn't just jinx us for now. But really, we have a very good time out there outside. And the weather has always been very cooperative for us. And we open up at 5:30. And people do come in and picnic for our major shows, the Pops concerts this year with Big Bad Voodoo Daddy on the 21st and Leanne Rimes on the 28th. And we open in the daylight with our orchestra doing a set. And by the time the guest artist comes on, about 9:15, that's usually the lights are able to have more impact on the stage.
And so everybody's pleasantly buzzed a little bit. Yes. You should be if you're driving. I'm just saying.
Yeah, the sun goes down behind the canopy for the orchestra, and it gets very comfortable out there at OUL. It's a beautiful natural sight. If you haven't been out there, it's a natural rising hillside, so it's a natural amphitheater type effect, and surrounded by trees. And when we get that great weather and the moon and stars come out, I'll tell you, the guest artists are most impressed.
Yeah, it's a pretty setting, Rising Park.
It really is.
It's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
Bill, tell me about programming, because that's your bread. I mean, that's what you live for, you personally and your staff, is programming, and you're programming the entire city and more very well, because you're getting a lot of sold-out houses. But what do you have? Is it throwing darts at a screen, or just is there a real strategy to programming?
Well, I think there's a strategy. I think we look at all the different audiences. We don't have an audience in Central Ohio, so
no.
You could see what the symphony did with Picnic. We opened one night with Three Dog Night, the next night with The Temptations. Idina Menzel is going to have a very young audience.
She's going to have a young and a huge audience.
Huge audience, but it'll be, you know, very, very, very much women and girls from 6 to 22, and it'll be a lovely evening. You know, but it's diversity. We have Peebo Bryson coming. We've got Styx. We've got Dennis DeYoung from Styx. So the idea is really in any season, similar to what Lou does, is to be able to have things for everyone.
And John, as I understand it, Actors Theatre began as a Shakespeare festival, but really has expanded from Shakespeare. But there's more variety.
Well, it actually started off doing Shakespeare and musicals. For a number of years, they did a musical each summer, and part of the challenge with that is you have rights, you've got musicians, and financially it became problematic. They tried fencing off an area, which didn't work as well at Schiller as it does at the Commons. And so, long before I came on board, the board decision was to simply move towards classical theater. Emphasis on Shakespeare.
Everybody's dead. Good.
It helps a little bit with the rights acquisition. Right. But no, you're trying to present material that is part of the Western canon, part of what we should be aware of and familiar with as living, breathing human beings here.
But it's fun. It's fun and it's funny.
That's part of, you were asking earlier about programming prerogatives. I mean, that's one of the things I strive to do is find a mix of entertaining, fun, exciting pieces from that classical repertory.
Shakespeare knew that, you know, because all of his most tragic, King Lear has comic elements to it. And you need to, you know.
They all have comic elements.
Hamlet. I mean,
Very funny. Yeah. And Merchant of Venice, even though it's labeled a comedy, Shakespeare really mixed the genres. He really played with form. And so all of his plays have a really interesting intermingling of comic and serious elements. And that's one of the richnesses of his material.
And Lou, your audience might be a little more, they travel to get to you, a lot of them, I would think.
We do.
Especially for the outdoors
Ohio,
thing.
Yes.
Yeah, mostly Southern Ohio. So that's a different audience, too. It is. Bill made the point there is no one audience anymore for anything, I don't think.
Exactly.
So how are you programming?
As Bill and I both touched on there, we try to do a little bit for everybody and try to, hopefully, we are known, you know, for the two Saturday nights. No matter what you try to do, about 11 days, 70 events, they still look at two Saturdays. And so they're like, oh, you didn't book who I wanted this year, you know. But we hope next year we do. And so we try to keep the variety coming and let them know about the other things we're doing during the festival. So if you like a good rock act or a blues act, they're going to be downtown or they're going to be out somewhere else at OUL, and they may not be on the Saturday night. So we try to point to that, and we get great feedback from our community. We have a lot of things coming through to us in suggestions, and we love that. And because, like I said earlier, the festival tries to be for the community and by the community, so it's important for us to do the things they want to see.
We have an email from Dan who says that he's been to Picnic with the Pops many times, but this weekend will be his first time at the Columbus Commons. Can you talk about parking, and are there rules for the picnicking different than what he's been used to? What do we need to know about the new location?
Good questions. I think that our first weekend was really the biggest success was parking. I think sometimes people forget we have about 150,000 people who work every day in downtown Columbus, and so we have parking for, you know, 100,000 cars, which is a good thing. And a little bit different than the old Chem Abstracts, that meant that people could park in lots of different lots, and people actually got out quicker.
You can park. There's one right there.
Underneath. Right there. The other thing we've learned in this first weekend is that the downtown location is an incredible, easy location for everyone in Central Ohio to get to. And we've been zip sorting, you know, we're all trying to learn more about things. And Newark came up as our fifth top zip this weekend, and Pickerington. And so that sort of eastern corridor seems to be downtown, is a positive for downtown. We open at 6, so we're all kind of similar for Picnic. We have a new liquor license. It's a one of a kind. So you can now bring your own wine and beer. And you can also.
People never used to do that at Chemical Abstracts, ever.
Thanks for bringing. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm just. Listen. Okay.
The good thing is that, you know, you didn't bring up the Attorney General or anything. but this year we have a wonderful liquor license that allows you to bring your own wine and beer, and you can buy wine and beer. So that'll be a real positive.
Okay.
And then otherwise, it's pretty easy. The Commons is really well designed. So we have 6 different entrances, and so it's very easy to get to. And some of the parking, you know, is literally adjacent to, as you said, one parking lot. You just come right up and you're in, you're on the common.
It's parking, Dan, parking's not a problem. That's really, trust me on that one. Yeah. My question is, having not been there yet, so I don't know, but I would think a sound system is a huge challenge for all of you, especially now. Bill, you're out there for the first time this past week. How'd that work out?
It worked out well. I've got an incredibly wonderful sound man, Kevin, and so it was kind of fun to watch Kevin, because when you're doing sound in a theater, and you know, when we do musicals, you have to set sound.
Right. Sure.
Tuesday night, it's your first chance, and people, I think, forget that. Audience are baffles. People just absorb sound. So you can do everything in the world you want, but until you have 6,000 people out there, it's really hard to figure it out. So it was fun to watch, because I think that we started out, the sound was a little bit hot, and then he was able to get around and then figure out how to adjust the speakers so that the sound became very, very good for everyone. But it started out a little hot.
How about you, John? I mean, one wants to hear all the words, you know, not only see, but one does want to hear all the words.
Well, as Bill said, it's sort of a moving target. And, you know, we do our techs, we do our testing of that sound level, but until you have bodies out there, and depending upon humidity and barometric pressure and, you know, the weather conditions, all those things affect the sound quality. And so, yeah, we have our sound op who is on there adjusting things entire show because things, conditions change.
And Lou, I know you. Sound quality is different for classical concerts than it is for outdoor venues, for everything else.
Definitely,
so
yes.
You really, that's a different ballgame every time.
Yeah, we try to go without any type of indoor amplification at all, unless we have to increase a, you know, have a maybe get acoustic guitar or something like that might have to have some amplification to be covered. To be out in front of the orchestra, I'm trying to say. I'm having trouble saying
it,
but
you're doing fine.
I'm getting to it. But yes, but outdoors is a whole different ballgame, and we have a setup there with delay towers and having to make the sound work for that. And we try to close mic the orchestra, but not clip on if we can help it. A lot of the new bands coming in almost demand clipping because of the volume they play at. So you have to, if you're going to get the strings at all out to the audience, you have to clip a mic on the instrument to make that happen. But we try to close mic and try to give as much warmth as we can to the orchestra sound outdoors, so it almost sounds like an indoor concert if we can.
Does noise become an issue for any of you in terms of local residents? Oh, look, John's going, oh, my God, yes, really. You mean in terms of neighbors? And
we have such a hugely supportive community.
Yeah, I would think down there they would. Yeah.
So the complaints are really minor. I thought the direction of the question was going the other way in terms of outside interference.
Well, go ahead. Yes, well, airplanes.
Airplanes, parties in local residences, cars. We've got an ice cream truck that will come by earlier in the evening. So, yeah, we have some challenges. Yeah.
Does he come right by when Ophelia's drowning herself? I mean, for God's sake, you know, or Desdemona's, you know.
The timing does seem very suspicious in terms of when it occurs, but... I mean, that's part of the fun and part of the ambiance that is coming down to the park.
It's what you don't buy into because it's free, but that's what you buy into when you attend.
Yep. Right? Yeah. In my kingdom for a good humor bar.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
Yes.
Yes. Bill, I'm curious to know what your feeling is with all the talk about really having downtown a destination, which I think is great. Is there enough support down there in terms of restaurants, in terms of things for kids, et cetera, of a given day or evening to make that viable right now?
Yeah, I think it we were talking a little bit beforehand. We have a new restaurant right across from the Commons, De Novo, and Friday, Saturday was their biggest 2 days. I mean, it was just amazing. And, you know, in the same any time you're doing economic development and the arts, you do one and then the other.
It's almost scientific, I would think, really, just to sort of adjust, you know, who's going where and what, you know, trends and predicting things.
But we have a lot of new restaurants now. You know, we have that new Cup of Joe, which also is a restaurant. And we have the De Novo, which is a new restaurant. We have a new restaurant as part of Side of a Mile. And I think we're going to see more, actually, as we fill in.
Do you think restaurant or vendors would be encouraged to, it's chicken and egg, to stay open later so that to see if they can attract an audience or customers downtown of a Wednesday night or something? Do you, you know?
Well, you and I are different people, so we stay up late. So I have to say that it makes me smile, since I've been here for 10 years, that there are now 4 restaurants downtown that are open till 2 in the morning.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. Mike, good see.
So downtown is real different than
I
it
need
was.
To go back to my night owl lifetime. I'm sorry about that. We have an email from Angela in Dublin. Tomorrow morning, my family and I will be heading down to the Ohio Theater to watch classic cartoons and listen to the Mighty Morgan organ
Oh, great.
At the Ohio Theater. It's air-conditioned and affordable. And next weekend, my colleague Amy Jurevich will be chairing this program, and she will be all about movies, and they will really talk in more detail about Kappa's summer movie series. So I want to save that for Amy, who knows best. But yeah, that's a great day out. I mean, those movies are fantastic. Evelyn writes us that congratulations to all of the people, largely you three, who are developing and promoting downtown. It looks fabulous. There are so many wonderful options and ways to encourage my suburban couch potato kids to become physically active and urban explorers. So, Evelyn, thank you so much for that. I know people are very, very happy to hear about that. 292-8513 is the number to call if you would like to talk to my guests, Lou Ross from the Lancaster Festival, Bill Connor from Kappa, and John Kuhn from Actors Theater. And we have a call from Elaine in Westerville. Hello, Elaine.
Yes, my question was, are they doing anything to increase the security for the cars that are parked downtown? Because I was down there last summer at the fountain, and I was parked for 45 minutes, and my car had its right window smashed, and another car ahead of us was severely burglarized. I had nothing in my car for anybody to take, but they got cards and money and Game Boys and all kinds of things. And it gave me a very bad feeling for going down and just, you know, browsing around.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Thank you, Elaine, for the call. We'll see what we...
Well, I can tell you for the Commons, we have a wonderful relationship with our watch commander and our police in the downtown in our downtown district. The Downtown Development Corporation also runs a special group that literally is biking all over the downtown. We were very fortunate. I think this weekend, you know, we had 11,000 people come. There were no incidents.
There were no incidents. Now, that's a very good record when you have 11,000 people down. Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And like I said, people were able to get in and get out quick. And I think that the general thrust of everything we're saying together is the more activity that happens in the downtown becomes a more interesting and attractive place to be.
And I'm sure in Lancaster, if the festival, yes, God forbid, went away, there would be repercussions. I mean, the community would not like that.
Oh, I think you're right.
From an economic standpoint.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky for that. And we do also have an increased security presence during the festival. You know, the police do more biking, and we have more horseback opportunities for the sheriff's department. And then we bring our own, you know, private security in for the Saturday nights. And you have to do that. But again, luckily, as Bill was just saying, the more activities you have, the less likely those things are to happen. And it's probably been a transition for downtown, I would imagine, here in Columbus. And probably more and more things that are being booked, more people downtown, the more restaurants stay open until 2 o'clock. Hopefully we'll have more success with that.
Yeah, I don't think parking or security would be a reason not to go downtown. I think that, as you said, parking is quite easy down there. I mean, and certainly on a weekend, I would think it's almost open sesame. I mean, really, this part. We have a call from Mark in Westerville, who is a fan of your production, John, of Robin Hood. Hello, Mark in Westerville.
Well, full disclosure. Hi, John. I'm
I know
not
who you
just
are.
A fan. I'm a cast member.
He's in the show, right?
He's in the show.
Okay.
Hi, Mark.
You get in.
Well, what I have to say, and I think John has mentioned this, but I think it's just tremendous for me as a performer and the people in the show with me. This is homegrown. It's a local playwright, and you may hear local playwright and cringe and say, oh, no. This is a smart, accessible script that's really great that I think you'll see show up other places. It's been mounted well. This is local. It's not a tour, and it's all happening in German Village. It's been a great experience to be part of, and I want theatergoers to come and help us break a record tonight.
Mark, that's terrific. Thank you for your call. I'm sure you look great in the tights. Great for your call here. 292-8513. We have to take a break for 90 seconds. We'll be back to continue our conversation All Sides Weekend on 89.7.
On the next Fresh Air, comic Louis C.K. The third season of his comedy series, Louis, starts Thursday, June 28th, on the FX network. Season 2 just came out on DVD. Louis C.K. writes and directs the series and stars as a comic named Louis. Many stories within the show are inspired by things that have happened in his real life. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Be sure to join us Monday for All Sides with Ann Fisher on the show Going Green and Conserving Water with Rain Barrels and Rain Gardens. And then The Science of Anxiety and Fear. That's All Sides with Ann Fisher on Monday from 10 until noon.
Support for 89.7 comes from Picnic with the Pops, presenting Idina Menzel. The Broadway singer and actress on the TV series Glee will perform with the Columbus Symphony Saturday, June 23rd at their new location, the Columbus Commons. Tickets at picnicwiththepops.com.
78 degrees in downtown Columbus, a mix of sun and clouds today, warming up to a high of 85. Clear skies for tonight, a low of 63 degrees. Expect sunshine on Saturday, a nice day with a high of 87, and more sunshine on Sunday, a high of 91. All Sides Weekend continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy, back with John Kuhn, who's the Artistic Director of Actors Theatre down in Schiller Park, presenting Robin Hood tonight and through the weekend, closing Sunday. So get there. Get there if you want to see Robin Hood. Bill Connor is the Chief Executive Officer of Kappa, and Lou Ross is the Executive Director of the Lancaster Festival. You have about 15 minutes to call in and talk to my guests or let us know what you're up to with the arts in Central Ohio, 292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides at wosu.org. Tom from Dublin sent us an email. He went to Picnic with the Pops, loved it. Sound system needs a little more work. Okay, well, as you say, I mean, you don't know until the first night when you've got people there, right?
No, he's right. We, you know, we've been setting sound for these first two concerts, so we're getting better, and I think the system itself is brilliant. So it's just checking it out with all these people. We were pretty blown away by how many people came, so that was a big part of it too.
I think you're probably going to see more of that as well, because it is an easy part to get there. John, tell me about your audition process. How does one perform with Actors Theatre? Do you have to be in the union? Do you have to be?
No. It's all non-union.
You have to be good.
we hope for that. Yes, we try to cast the best actor for the role. We typically have auditions in March and try to cast our whole summer season. But we are expanding slowly into winter events.
Talk to me about that.
Well, the year before, we did a co-production with the Columbus School for Girls. We did a production of Trojan Women.
Really?
Very exciting. And it was a wonderful learning experience, both for the students who were involved, but also for our actors. We brought in a number of our folks. So we're looking for more opportunities like that. But anyway, we have a major audition in March, usually 2 days. We had about 170 people show up this year. We also had some online submissions, folks from around the country. But yeah, we try to cast the best talent available.
And you're going to Columbus Commons too.
We are.
Yes, Actors Theater.
We are very excited
by
this opportunity.
Talk to me about that.
Well, we're going to do two productions there. We're going to do the complete works of Shakespeare Abridged.
I love that
goes from August 16 to 26. And it's 90 minutes of three guys doing all of Shakespeare, and it's sort of like the Marx Brothers Monty Python version. You don't have to have any experience with Shakespeare. It is just fun, goofy weirdness. It's just laugh out loud. And then we're going to remount our production of Midsummer Night's Dream in September.
That's the flagship show of yours, right?
Yes. Every about 5 years, yes, we remount it and come up with a new way of looking at it, a new way of imagining it. We'll be doing that September 13th through the 23rd at the Commons, and we're very excited about that. And that had life-size puppets as part of the production. So
that answers the question about what else goes on when it's not the hot weather months. There's more expansion, and I think we're going to see more of that as I think this year is the learning curve, probably, because it's the first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 292-8513 is the number. We have Alex from Columbus waiting. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
You're on. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'd like to point out a new place where anyone who wants to create art of their own can come by, called the Columbus Idea Foundry. I'm the director, and we teach classes on all sorts of arts, from blacksmithing and stained glass, woodworking and other arts, as well as high-tech tools like laser cutting and computer-controlled machining. And once people learn how to use our tools from the classes that we teach, they can come in and use our workshop as if it's their own. So if you don't have have the know-how or don't have the tools to create art of your own, there is a facility in Columbus that can hold your hand and help you do it for you.
Alex, where are you located?
We are near 5th and Cleveland at 1158 Corrugated Way in what's affectionately called the Chicken District.
The Chicken District? That's new to me. Well, all right. Well, that sounds terrific, Alex. It's the Columbus Idea Foundry.
That's right.
Can people find you online?
Absolutely, at columbusideafoundry.com.
Go ahead.
We'll also be having a big event in September in conjunction with the 200 Columbus Festival to help Columbus become more open and smart. It's going to be called a Maker Fair, and it will be held at COSI on September 29th, and people can find information on the website, too.
Alex, thanks so much for your call. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I've always said as well that this seems to be a wonderful town for what I call, and I don't mean it derogatorily, garage arts. You know, where they start small and local, and then 30 years later, they're still here, but they're big and still local. I mean, this seems like a nice community for things like that to happen.
Definitely.
Barbara on Facebook, this weekend in Reynoldsburg is the state's best Civil War reenactment. Information online, they'll have battle reenactments, a surgeon, President Lincoln, and even a tea for the ladies. Fest begins Saturday at 9 and go both Saturday and Sunday in Reynoldsburg, a Civil War reenactment. Barbara, thank you very much for that bit of information.
We're tied into the Civil War this year.
Tell me about that. You should be.
The state is dividing the counties up and deciding which year different counties should celebrate the anniversary, the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. And 2012 is Fairfield County's year to celebrate. So we're doing a few different events during the festival. We have a gentleman named Lee Murdoch that comes in and does just a Civil War presentation of different songs from the Civil War era. And he's just performing Sunday afternoon down at the bandstand for free on July 22nd. And then we have a couple named Kim and Reggie Harris that are doing a program for children at the Knights of Columbus Hall in River Valley Mall. And that's on Friday, the 27th of July. And they do a lot of Underground Railroad traditional songs and storytelling. And that will be traditional. And then on the final Saturday night before Leanne Rimes, the orchestra is going to focus on Civil War music. And Gary's going to be programming that with some traditional Civil War songs and some other things tied in. And they're going to do Copeland's Lincoln Portrait, at least a portion of it. And we're going to have Lancaster's own Colonel Tom Moe, who's a retired U.S. Air Force colonel, former prisoner of war. You might have read about him when McCain was running for president because he was locked up in the Hanoi Hilton with McCain in those days at POW camp. Colonel Moe now works for the government, I believe, here in the state. And then Colleen Marshall from Channel 4 is going to come down and help narrate that as well.
She's a hoot. Okay,
so,
terrific.
That'll be fun.
That's great. We can't do a show like this today without mentioning ComFest. ComFest opened, I think, as we speak, down in Goodale Park. ComFest is an institution. It really is the voice for the progressive community and their friends and people who don't like them, because everybody likes a good time. And if you like a good time, you go to ComFest. Your eyes, John, lit up when I mentioned ComFest.
We go. It's just a fun, exciting, odd amalgam of a lot of different kinds of events and different vendors. I mean, it's just... And the setting, Goodale Park, is a beautiful place. So, yeah, we go every year.
How crazy is it?
Oh, it's way crazy. And that's what's so fun about it. It's very much of a community festival. And so you have that community vibe and energy about it, which is different. I mean, the Columbus Arts Festival was marvelous. It was great to have it back by the river again. But the ComFest is just... It's community, and it's you've got all these fun individuals who are celebrating the community, and so it's great.
I think ComFest 2 is probably not as commercial. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there isn't. But I'm just saying it's a different kind of venue. Does everybody go to ComFest?
They should.
Okay. I think there are a lot of closet people who go to ComFest, but they, you know, I hope my neighbors don't see me and things like that. But I would embrace ComFest. I think it's wonderful.
So great time.
And that is, as we speak, they're starting in Goodale Park for the weekend. 292-8513. We have a few minutes left. If you'd like to give us a call, or allsides at WOSU.org. You can also find us in Facebook. So we have the proverbial embarrassment of riches in the next few weeks, at least, between ComFest, the Columbus Commons, and Picnic with the Pops, and Actors Theater. And if you want to take a pretty ride, or if you live down there, because that's very much our listening area, you have the Lancaster Festival with plenty of great things to do. I'm curious, Lou, I think the Columbus, as you mentioned, the Columbus Symphony sort of co-founded the festival. They were the first. They were the first attraction, the first rock down
there.
Yeah,
and Christian Body was music director. He had got together the people in Lancaster, brought the symphony to town for one Sunday in 1984. And it was such a hit that the next year they had an eight-day festival together.
But there's always been a place there for classical music to
this
day.
Oh, yes, definitely. A lot of good chamber music there, and people come out and support it, and it's very important. Gary does a wonderful job of programming. We have some marvelous players. We've had great guests through the years and continue to bring, with Misha Dichter this year coming in for the opening night. And we pride ourselves in being able to be strong quality. And again, it was established with that excellence that Christian Body helped drive with our leadership down there.
Is it the 18th that Dichter is playing?
Yes, it is.
The first night,
opening
and that
night
will be at Faith Memorial Church.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing the Emperor Concerto of Beethoven, I believe.
Yes,
it's a Beethoven program. Gary Sheldon is the artistic director and conductor.
Yes.
He's been there for how long?
25 years.
Yeah,
this
almost
is his
from the beginning.
Silver anniversary as well.
Yeah.
So, and the orchestra's doing the Seventh Symphony that night.
Oh,
and
terrific.
They've never played that during the festival, so this will be a new music in a way.
And Faith Memorial is a nice place to hear a concert. First of all, it's very comfortable.
Padded pews.
Padded pews.
raked auditorium floor.
Great air conditioning. plenty of restrooms and wonderful sight lines. So
that'll
be something. I'm going to be there, and I would encourage everybody else to go there as well. Also, the cafe concerts.
Yes, we do those. But now we have four cafe concerts, three different locations. We start out at the Country Club. This year, the first one on Friday the 20th is the 25-year club, where we're featuring the six musicians and Gary, who have been part of the orchestra for 25 years. And then we have this guy coming down doing one called Let's Duet at the Lodge in town. Christopher, I believe you're going to help us out with some singers and some orchestra members and ensembles.
What kind of an idiot would do a program like that?
Yeah.
Is that at Shaw's, right?
No, that's going to be at the Lodge.
At the Lodge?
Yes,
oh,
you were there
one year,
I think.
We packed the place. I'll have you know.
And then the last two cafe concerts are at Shaw's. Mm-hmm. We have one just with orchestra ensembles, and then the finale is on Friday the 27th with a Generations Trio, and they're doing Feeling for Felix, and they're going to perform Mendelssohn music that day.
So. So feel along. It's for you at the Lancaster Festival. That opens on the 18th of July and runs until the 28th. LancasterFestival.org. That's pretty easy to remember that as well. And I'm sure as we sit here, you're planning next year and the year after that. You and Gary Sheldon.
Definitely.
Your director.
Moving forward.
A shout out to my two girlfriends, Barbara Hunziker and Eleanor Hood, who were the founders of the Lancaster Festival.
They really did get that thing going, and they still help out. They just do so much for the arts in Ohio.
Help
and,
out.
And
I mean, my
Ohio.
God, they don't sit down.
I mean, to
this day. Bill, a little prediction. Tell me about what's going on with the Columbus Symphony and our venues. Opera Columbus has taken an exciting kind of new direction with, I have to say, a wonderful new director that you hired, Peggy Dye. Tell me about the future.
Well, I think we are, just like you were saying, it's an embarrassment of riches. I think that the symphony's coming off of an outstanding year. We have a new music director, just finishing his second season, Jean-Marie Zaituni. We also did some new things. So we, you were there and you gave us a wonderful review for going into the Southern Theater. And that has been just both an acoustically wonderful opportunity for our audiences, but it's also helped us change our audiences. You know, we're looking like everyone to see an audience that's younger, more diverse, and that's been a big part for us. We moved the opera company into the Southern as well.
I loved that. I thought that was beautiful.
It was gorgeous. Yeah. And, you know, it's the unique. You know, we're very fortunate in Columbus. We have some really amazing theaters, and the Southern, which was an opera house, is just acoustically perfect. You know, it's the same as – it's right there with Carnegie Hall in terms of an acoustic. So we're moving things around, changing things up a little bit, and trying to look at new audiences.
Talk to me a little bit about La Boheme with Shadowbox, because I think that's a wonderful idea.
Well, I saw a production of La Boheme in a bar in London. I hope my board's not listening.
What were you doing in a bar? Never mind.
And so we're doing a new production, and Peggy is helping us put it together. And our colleagues at Shadowbox are just the most collaborative people. I think we've all ended up working one way or another with Shadowbox.
Steve Geyer, terrific. Yeah.
Off the charts.
Wonderful actor, yeah.
Just a great guy. And so we are co-producing La Boheme in their cabaret, in their bar area. And so
this is not your grandmother's La Boheme.
It's not, but it'll be kind of wild for you because you could just be sitting next to Mimi and you don't even know it. And then all of a sudden the production begins.
So she dies right there next to you, right?
Right there.
Drops
yeah.
that muff and she's gone. Right? So you're doing a La Boheme in a cabaret setting. And if you don't know La Boheme, actually, first of all, you do because you'll recognize it when you hear it. But I think that's a very intriguing collaboration between the opera and Shadowbox with Steve Geyer. And I'm of the opinion that the presentation is going to have to change if you want more younger people coming in. You know,
and that's the idea. I think it's he's directing it. It'll just be with piano and seven singers. It's kind of fun because you could say this. And this will make you just this is going to just hurt Lou. But you know, Boheme could have been the prequel to Rent. So,
You're absolutely right.
So on Sundays, you can see Rent and the theater and then come right into the bar and see Boheme.
La Boheme.
Right.
And Lisa on Facebook wants you to know that Imagine Columbus is presenting Avenue Q at Wall Street Nightclub now through July 1st. ImagineColumbus.com for tickets. I didn't even know that. That's terrific.
You know, the neatest thing, you know, we've been talking about how more is better. But, you know, the theater community, and maybe John can touch on it, is just growing. We have a lot of new theater companies.
Right. Yeah. This one on High Street that they've taken over, they've renovated a wonderful old theater.
Garden Theater.
Yeah, tell me about that. They did Follies, didn't they, last year?
They did. It was an old theater, and I think it's the second oldest. But anyway, it has a board. They're beginning programming, and they're doing fundraising events, and they're renovating this old, wonderful theater space and mounting the productions there. And
big
it's going
to musicals.
Be great.
Big musicals that we don't get to see.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
right.
These are, you know, Sondheim, and I mean, this is a really creative group.
So it's very exciting. So and it's in a great location in the Short North.
Right on High Street there. We have a call from Tom in Westerville. Hello, Tom. You're on.
Yes, thanks. I just had a question about what the performance conditions are like on stage at the Columbus Commons in terms of, like, the sun angle and the temperature, and if there are any sorts of fans or any kind of way to keep the musicians in the orchestra cool down.
Okay, and you said the sun angle, right? So the sun isn't in your eyes and things like that, right?
Yes,
Okay.
For the performers.
Thanks, Tom. We're going to get to that discussion now. So what's it like on stage?
It's funny because Lou and I just looked at each other. We have five huge fans on stage, so that's how we keep it cool. The sun angle, you know, the sun basically goes east to west, and so we have a south facing, so it's not the issue isn't so much the sun facing, though, you know, this has been an unusually warm couple of days.
Oh boy.
So, and in fact, you know, I think we're all thrilled that we had this rain come in this morning.
Yeah.
So I think, but so far it's worked out to be pretty positive. We always did the fans at Kim Abstracts as well. So.
Well, you probably have the same experience as we do, Bill, with the killer time is rehearsal. Because that's when the sun is at its peak, and we're just baking them on that stage. So
like
when they come out
time.
At night for the concert, they're like, hey, this is cool.
Yeah.
But yes, we do have the sun for us sits behind the canopy, so it does get nicer as the evening goes on for our audience as well as the people on the stage. But yeah, it's a challenge, and I don't know how you do it with the fans because our sound man, he flips out when the fans are on the stage, and we're shutting them all down. We hear those.
Oh, yeah.
We hear those.
We're just like you. We run them before and after.
Right.
We don't run them during the concert.
Right, exactly.
During the concert. Well, we have 2 minutes left, and I wanted to give each of you an opportunity to make a closing remark, starting with my debutante, John Kuhn from Actors Theater. It's lovely to have you here.
Well, thank you. Great to be here. Come see Robin Hood. It's a marvelous production, and as one of the callers said, it's a local production, a local playwright, and then we open Merchant of Venice next week, and I'll be doing Shylock in that, and so, yeah, come on down.
And then Goldoni, The Servant of Two Masters.
Servant of Two Masters, a very fun farce by the Italian Shakespeare, very commedia-based. But piece.
Bring your picnic and enjoy.
Yep.
Lou Ross.
Oh, I'll tell you, we have a great 11 days lined up for you. You already mentioned our website, lancasterfestival.org. We didn't talk about St. Mary Church, which is traditionally our opening night venue, which we switched it now to the second week. And Gary has programmed an all Bach program that night, and the Lancaster Chorale is going to sing the Magnificat.
Yes.
So that'll be a beautiful program. And we're going to have Toccata de Fugue performed by Mr. Paul Thornock, and we're going to have some fun things. He's going to play the what's the portable organ? The Portifif? I should know that, but he's going to play the portable organ from the stage
and
for the Magnificat.
Bill Connor, because I'm afraid of you, I'll give you the last word.
Last word is just thanking Emmy because This weekend is sunny, Friday and Saturday, which is absolutely important to us.
Yes. So terrific. Thank you for that. Thank you all for joining me. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.